The internet as we know it is about to change forever. It all started with a little open source algorithm from a research laboratory in Silicon Valley called OpenAI, and with a little help from a billion-dollar investment from people like Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. 4 years later, in 2019, another $1 billion from Microsoft, and just last month, another $10 billion commitment from Microsoft. That after OpenAI's ChatGPT hit 1 million users in just 5 days. For some perspective there, it took Facebook 10 months to hit 1 million users. People just can't get enough of the chatbot. I know that I've used it pretty much every day. There's nothing like it for now. Yesterday, Google CEO announced their AI chatbot is already in the hands of a very small group of trusted testers, and it's going to be available to the public in a few weeks. They're calling it Bard AI, and it's actually just one of 20 new AI products that Google says they're going to release this year. Not to be outdone, mere moments after Google's announcement yesterday, Microsoft announced a special surprise press event to be held today. It is widely expected that they are launching a new Bing search engine with chat-style search box. A few people have already seen a brief look at what that looks like Friday. Apparently, Microsoft was testing and some people got a hold of it. Meanwhile, Apple CEO Tim Cook says that AI is eventually going to affect every product and service that they make. Meta's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, he's kicking himself for not renaming the company Facebook AI. Today on Dumb Money, can the incumbent search engine keep up with AI without cannibalizing their advertising model? Or will AI destroy Google? You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast. Chris Jordan, this to me kind of feels like 25 years ago when the browser wars happened and Netscape was like the dominant market share and Microsoft introduced Internet Explorer. And then within 5 years, Microsoft basically blew up Netscape. They don't even exist, right?
How about when the opposite of that story, the show can go both ways. How about when Google encroached on Microsoft's Office suite, right? And yep. At first, the first few years of that, if people are old enough to remember, it was detrimental to Microsoft. All the small business, all the individual users were actually moved to Google's kind of a version of those products. And until Microsoft
Word for free, basically built into your browser,
people thought it was possibly going to be the end of Microsoft. And Microsoft somehow managed to spend and bring all their services up to the cloud. And they just quadrupled down on sales, on enterprise sales, and somehow managed to kind of win that war. But so it shows it can go either way.
Yeah. And to me, this AI stuff is moving so much faster that I think that, you know, the popularity of ChatGPT probably caught everyone off guard, Google has been working on AI for a long time, but I don't think they were ready to just like make it public until chatbot took off. And now they were scrambling to release something, right?
Okay. Go ahead, Jordan. There's so much to discuss on this episode. It's crazy. But by the way, let's just address Google's, you know, I think the general consensus is that Google has the best AI. Wait till you see Google's AI. They're going to destroy ChatGPT. Like, okay, let me just tell you something. Google just invested $300 million in an AI startup, Anthropic, okay? They bought 10% of the company. That's essentially a ChatGPT competitor. Why is Google investing in them if they have
And they have 20. They say they're releasing 20 products with AI, and I don't know. I'm very interested to see what they actually come out with, because we've already seen Microsoft. They're quick to move. They've already baked AI into their Teams product. You can now it's basically Microsoft's version of Zoom. But it will summarize what happened in a nice little written format of what happened in the meeting.
But Dave, it's not just Microsoft. It's not just ChatGPT. Baidu today came out and said that they have their own. They released theirs internally in 2019, and they have their own chatbot version of AI. Yep. I believe firmly that within 2 years, we might have 5 to 10 major AI chatbots trying to chase this market down.
And I think a few of them are going to be kind of the the source, and I think there are going to be all sorts of startup companies that are logging in using the APIs of OpenAI or of Google or of, I don't know, IBM or whoever is going to like have that initial data set that, that people extrapolate off of.
Okay, but my thesis, and I discussed this a few weeks ago, and it's still my thesis today, is it doesn't matter if Google wins or loses or shares the market. They are going to have to play defense now. They are going to be distracted. They're going to have to spend massive amounts of money. They're going to have to basically disrupt their own revenue stream, which is 90% of their revenue, roughly. I think $180 billion a year is advertising that is generated off of Google search. Now, I'm going to share with you a piece of data that blew my mind. I doubt you guys realize this. Do you know how much Google search originates from Apple? Just take a guess.
How much Google search originates
from
Apple?
How many Google searches originate from Apple?
From Apple
devices that Apple controls, meaning off the Apple search bar, that Apple has a deal to where they redirect.
Oh, right,
basically,
right.
Google has the exclusive.
Search engine is Google. You can change that, by the way. But yeah.
Yeah. I've kept mine as default on Google for years. I actually this week wanted to see what Bing was all about because it only has like a 3% market share, and I just feel like it's laughable. But I knew that this AI integration was coming, so I switched my default to Bing, and it's hard to use. I don't like Bing today, but I'm wondering about Bing tomorrow. But I would say a huge percentage. I would guess
half or more.
40%.
50%. And guess how much Google pays Apple for that? They pay them roughly $15 billion a year. Apple can probably demand more, okay? But they pay them 15. I guess the assumption is that Apple thinks it's probably the only game in town right now. And for Apple, they would probably want it to be their default anyway for good user experience. So Apple's not going to push Google too hard on that number when there's no other decent user experience. But what happens? What happens when there is a near equal experience due to AI? Apple knows that Google is generating $80 or $90 billion a year off of Apple. You know how Apple is, right? They want their fair share of that. That alone could be detrimental to Google's revenue stream the next 5 years, okay? But that's just one use case of how unbelievably bad this can turn out for Google. And I don't think it's completely out of Google's control. The reason why Google has not released anything yet has nothing to do with their tech ability. It has nothing to do with them wanting to release it in the right way and be careful for humanity. It's because they're scared as hell that if they were to release their own tech into
release
their search,
anything that would disrupt that flow of money from advertising dollars, that, I mean, it's detrimental. That's what I can't get my head around. How are they going to figure out a monetization strategy for an AI chatbot talking to you?
We've talked about this, right? I mean, there are ways to do it, but how do you do it this quickly? And when you're sitting at 90% of search volume right now,
it took them a decade to figure out how to monetize search as efficiently as they're doing. Yeah.
2 decades to monetize search because it takes so much time when you have millions and millions of advertisers to train, and they're scared and they have to get used to it. They have to see the ROI. It takes forever.
And meanwhile, Bing has nothing to lose. They can flip the switch on new Bing, and even if it blows up and is terrible, it's okay. Maybe they go from 3% market share to 4%, right? They don't have as much to lose.
I think that they've only got, but search is not their bread and butter, right? And so it can only drive more people to Microsoft services. That's their viewpoint.
And okay, it could become their bread and butter if they do it right.
Stephen Malik just had the perfect, this is all you need to know. This is how I feel. He said, I'm already using Google search less. Guess what, guys? I am already using Google search less.
I think that's right. Now, I think if anybody that has, you know, their ChatGPT window up full time, which I think, most people that understand anything about technology now probably have, you're not Google searching as much as you would, you know, maybe for like, you know.
And I was just testing Bing searching versus Google searching. Like, what day is the Oscars on? You know, Google's really good at certain keyword type searches, and they give you that information right there, top and center, which, by the way, Bing took me to an article about when it was in 2018. So it's completely useless. But I could, if I'm going to ask a chatbot about this, I'm not going to say what day is it on. I'm going to say what day is it on, and tell me the statistical odds of each movie. Which movies should I see? Because I want to see the best movies before the actual Oscars. So which one should I see? And if I wrote all that out, or if I talked to Siri and it translated that to my chatbot app that I wrote, it's so much better information.
By the way, guys, how many times in the last month have you started on Google and then remembered that ChatGPT was a thing? And like, why am I Googling that? And that's even in a scenario where ChatGPT doesn't have live internet data for the most part, right? So imagine when it's better, bigger, and with live data, what percentage of your searches will move from conventional Google search to this new world of AI search, either on Microsoft or some other service, or maybe even on Google? At least 30%.
I think, yeah, exactly. And I think it's two different types of information. Sometimes you're looking to read a in-depth article on something. You're looking to find some information that you know exists somewhere on the web, and you're just trying to find the best version of it. Other times, usually, I'm looking for some like concept that I might normally have to click through five pages to find, and it's just going to be summarized for me. I can't think of many times that I'm going to want the source information, although new Bing, supposedly is going to cite sources so that you can actually get to the original articles and pages that were used to generate that response.
Well, I think that's the only way that they're going to be able to do this, right? And that if it basically is just a big summarization engine and you can never get back to the original sources, I think people will start boycotting allowing their information to be included, right? You have to have the links back and the citations to original sources for the information to remain open. At least, that's what I think.
But what we don't know yet, Jordan, which is fascinating, is let's just assume all the citations are there. What percentage of people even click on any of them? Is it 2%, 3%? That's a 98% reduction in clicks, right? From what would have happened before.
Yeah, but I think each click then is more valuable. I think at that point, if you've taken it past that point, you've already have filtered so many potentials that at that point you really want to know what that source is.
Okay, but Jordan, right now, the cost per click rates on Google after two decades of adoption are already so incredibly high. It's not going to be 30 times higher. No, a company that currently pays,
I think it can be higher if they're more relevant. If you've got a better funnel.
Higher, but not 20 times higher, right? Like maybe 50% higher. So I think
you can actually come up with some services to sit around this to drive business to certain places, like the legal example that I gave the last time we talked about this. And you come up with some real-time ways to interact with businesses based on this, you know, really good, very fine-tuned funnel. You know, I think you can monetize it. But like I said, that's not going to happen overnight. And so that stuff takes a while to build.
But can we also agree that generally this will create a more efficient marketplace? And if you have a more efficient marketplace, that essentially means less marketing dollars, right? Because as efficiency comes into play, that means companies will not have to spend as much because it will be more efficient. The entire process gets more efficient. So right now, there's a massive amount of waste in marketing, massive amount of waste, right? We're going to get rid of that waste because we don't need it anymore. All that waste money goes to one company, Google, and then all the agencies that support, like all that whole chain, right? That's good. It's good for business generally. Very bad for all the middlemen. Very bad for all the middlemen, including Google. Yeah. I don't think the market is fully realizing this yet. And it doesn't surprise me. You know, there was a day when I was like, God, you remember when we used to think that the market was just totally efficient and just anything that theoretically made sense, the market factored in? It is so unbelievably inefficient when it comes to stuff like this. Until we actually see how this works and actually see how detrimental it is or is it to Google, Google's not going to, Google investors are not going to punish the company. They're just not. So I am not, I don't own, I'm not shorting Google right now. I don't have puts on Google at this moment. But I will tell you this, as we've always said, I am so mentally prepared to make this trade that the second I see the sign that everyone else will see, I won't be waiting to compute in my head how bad that is for Google. I'll be ready to go with those puts. I'll be ready to go with that short position because I feel like there's a reasonable chance that at some point in the next 6 to 12 months, 18 months, there will be a moment when the world realizes, oh, this is going to be really bad for Google's $190 billion advertising search business. And the market is going to potentially punish Google in that moment. And as our job as observational investors is have a prepared mind and to be ready for that moment to pull the trigger quicker than the rest of the market because we were ready for it.
Okay, so are there specific things that you're looking for that are going to be that trigger point to pull the trigger?
Yeah.
What are those?
Well, let's start by seeing how this thing is going to work. Nobody's actually really seen this inside of a search engine. When I see Bing or Google AI search for the first time, I think I'll be able to properly assess just how damaging this will be to Google's search business, search advertising business. So that could be the first moment. I'm going to look for other analysis, articles. You're going to see people start to talk about that. And then once they start to talk about that, you just have to get in early. And I'll give you the perfect example. When ChatGPT was first released, me and Jordan, Dave, you were out of town, but me and Jordan had a Twitter Spaces. And Jordan, we talked about how big this was going to be for NVIDIA. We've actually talked about it on our show multiple times over the past 6 weeks, how big this is going to be for NVIDIA. I purchased NVIDIA because I realized that over the course of multiple months, there were going to be tens of thousands of articles talking about how big the AI revolution was going to be. And then investors and investment banks and hedge funds and analysts were all going to try to determine what would be the number one company that would benefit from artificial intelligence. And I knew that that conversation was going to go get back to NVIDIA. And what happened? Look at the NVIDIA run. This is what we do. This is observational investing. This is getting in early.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
The NVIDIA run over the past 6-7 weeks since OpenAI has been released has been tremendous, and it's been almost exclusively due to the AI hype engine. Now, will this last for NVIDIA? I don't know. But the gain's already there. It happened. So we're trying to get ahead of the next potential impact from this AI revolution. And I think it might, and we're not financial advisors. We're just going through this mental process for ourselves. So you guys should do the same, come up with your own decisions. I think it might be a Google short at some point in the future, the same way that Facebook, Meta, got crushed, right? Due to the proliferation of massive competition coming from TikTok and obviously bad decisions they made in the metaverse that never materialized, right? The metaverse as quickly as some people thought it would. So again, it takes time for the market to realize this. Yep. I can't wait.
But I mean, Google is also down big all the way back to where it was in January of 2021 on a long-term chart. So it's
it makes
like
the trade a little harder, but Dave, you does this Google, none of that is due to the potential deterioration and collapse of their primary revenue line, which has been not grown for 20 years. Could you imagine?
I'm going to be very interested to see what, if any, paid search like stuff gets embedded in. Can you imagine though, in a ChatGPT, it would make ChatGPT so less useful if, like, if you're waiting for your answer and the way it spells it out line by line, if it said, but first a word from our sponsor, Boop Cookies, brought to you by, no, which we do need to talk about, by the way. This is a company that we privately invested in, kind of helped found. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Maybe not today, but.
I thought this comment on a random, I don't know, some random article I was reading was really really said it properly. They were referring to time. Google mentions, or they keep mentioning like time to market, right, is what people are talking about. They corrected it and they said, no, time to commercialization, not time to market. Everyone is glowing about these AI engines because they are so pure. They answer questions honestly based on their accumulated knowledge. But that isn't what will make money for Microsoft or Google. They need to be commercialized. They need to figure out how to get them to respond with what makes Microsoft or Google the most money, just like the search engines do now. I'm no expert in how these AI engines work, but there must be a way to go into the accumulated knowledge data set and tag certain pieces of knowledge as more important than others. And that could, dare I say, be based on how much the business that is most positively impacted by that piece of knowledge pays the keeper of database in marketing fees. Now, that's fascinating because do you remember when search marketing first materialized in like the very, very early 2000s, right? Do you remember that they used to mix advertisers and organic search and nobody knew what was paid and what was not paid? And there was a massive amount of backlash on Google back then and Yahoo as well. Mm-hmm. And they basically forced them to bracket off the advertising from the organic. So I think that we're going to go through that whole cycle. We probably won't go through the cycle again because I know that they know they can't get away with that now. And I just don't know how they commercialize this quickly, Jordan, getting back to what you said. Can they commercialize it? Can they figure out
the way they've got to do it? I mean, I think, you know, trying to squeeze advertisers is one way to look at it. You know, basically, this is an efficiency for advertisers. And so instead of, you know, one out of every, you know, 10 or 100 or whatever the metrics are that advertisers look at right now, you know, those conversion rates are going to get better, which means that they'll be able to charge more for advertisers. Do they get net less money? Probably. But I think the biggest way for, you know, these companies to monetize these is to turn them into services and then let developers have access to them and then let, you know, basically soak in VC dollars on all of these different startups that are going to come about to try to take advantage of all these technologies. I think that's going to be the way that they make money back on their investment.
Do you think Google or Microsoft is better skilled and positioned to take advantage of that business model?
And I would think Microsoft. They've got a better cloud experience.
But Jordan, don't you also think that because Microsoft essentially generates close to zero revenue from search, that Microsoft doesn't necessarily have to create this massive monetization engine because they can utilize this to bring more people into their paid products? Because Microsoft is a lot more accustomed to a monthly subscription fee type business model. That's how they generate their revenue, mm-hmm. right? So if they can use this to enhance all the products they have and bring search into their products, right? And just kind of go with more of a fee model, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that would kind of sit on how they tend to operate. I just think that this helps their, you know, cloud presence. And it lets them offer more services to developers that they can charge for. And they just charge little incremental amounts. And every single time that an API gets hit, it's just another fee that they collect.
So how about the cost side, though? We haven't talked about the cost side. So it's been estimated that every query utilizing artificial intelligence costs multiple pennies per query. Right now, it costs Google next to nothing when somebody Googles something. So now let's just say that Google were to keep all of their advertising revenue magically with this model. How does that work? Now, all of a sudden, they have this massive cost that they never had before. I mean,
I think that's why they're in their initial release. They say that they're going to use a smaller data set that is lighter weight and easier to process. And we'll see how the results turn out. Right.
But the cost
of processing is going to come down the same way the cost of everything.
Well, that's been the trend in AI, Dave, is that every, you know, the way to actually make these things to where they're cost efficient to operate is to make them extremely purpose-built, right? And that you've got, you know, for like image search, right, or like satellite data search, they're trained only on satellite data images. They're not trained across the entire corpus of every single type of image. The same thing for text is that they tend to be trained very specifically to where they're more lightweight, they can run on a smaller set of hardware, and it's actually efficient to run. This general chat GPT system is so generalized that it's very expensive to operate and run because the models are enormous.
Yeah, but I think that's what people love about it, is that they can ask it anything.
That is what people love about it, but it also makes it very hard to eat the cost of all that compute power.
But the cost of computing power is going to come down over time. I think that eventually is going to have a tipping point where it's no longer as cost prohibitive.
At the end of the day, you still have to pay for the electricity, right? And the electricity cost doesn't go away. You can amortize GPUs and things like that, but I mean, you still have to buy them. That's why I think that this is why I think that their best business model is selling the services through APIs.
I think one thing is clear. You can tell from Google's reaction, they were not prepared for this. They have no idea what they're doing in terms of productizing this in any meaningful way. You know that they are freaking out right now trying to figure out, well, we have to release something. We can't release something that's going to cost us tens of billions of dollars a year in processing, right? Like, we can't do that. We can't, you know, we can't do something that's going to screw up our $190 billion a year revenue model.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can guarantee that they were having all hands meetings trying to figure out how they're going to respond to this, right? And they responded today, you know, a little bit, you know, is it too little, too late? Do they really have a plan in place? But they have to appear like they have a plan.
It's so obvious to me that they're throwing lipstick on a terrible situation. And this, I don't see in the short run how this ends up good in the next 12 to 24 months for Google. In the long run, perhaps they can figure out all the stuff that Jordan's referring to, and AI becomes so big.
But I don't think so. That's the thing. I think that, you know, to be able to monetize all of this, you don't have to figure it all out. You open up these services and let the innovation come out of startup. I mean, this is how these big companies work. They're going to open up all these APIs. They're going to figure out who are the winners, who knows how to take advantage of these technologies the best, and then buy those companies.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know that other big companies are seeing this as not, you know that Apple's looking at this right now and Meta's looking at this right now as a huge opportunity. Every big tech company has been staring at Google for two decades going,
what do we do?
No way for us to crack this search business. They own it. We can't touch it. Microsoft gave up on it. And now it's wide open again. So like Apple's thinking, well, wait a second. Half of their traffic comes from us. Let's just go either whatever AI is happening at Apple or whatever they can acquire, right, and buy. Like, they're like, we can have this. Apple loves advertising revenue. That's their game.
And service revenue. Yeah, and well, and the thing is, Apple so far, they've been on record saying that their AI strategy is doing the processing on device rather than sending it to the cloud for processing. It's doing things on device. So Siri is trying to be smarter in the actual phone or a pod or whatever. As far as I know, don't have any kind of big cloud AI strategy that they've announced, at least.
But Dave, immediately Siri and Alexa are trash right now. Like, they're complete trash. They were kind of quasi trash before this whole AI thing started a couple months ago. Now, if you've spent any time on OpenAI, they're so like, when my kids are using their Alexa and I hear them like asking a question like eight times to try to get the most simple answer ever, I'm just thinking like, oh my gosh, please.
Or how many times Siri has to tell you, here's something I found on the web. No, I don't want you to give me a link to the web. Just tell me the information I want to know.
It is so embarrassingly bad. It's like archaic. So you have to imagine that both Amazon and Apple are like, okay, come on. We're not just going to sit on the sideline and not take a try at this, right? There's no way.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard with Amazon in the Alexa devices is that is a big money losing proposition for them.
Oh.
And so, why are they going to pour more money into trying to take advantage of AI to make these services that are free. I mean, they have to, they'll, you know, at that scale, they would have to pay, you know, whatever API fees to whoever is actually running these AI services. There's no incentive for them to actually make these services better.
But
unless they can actually charge
that.
For them.
I don't know about that, Jordan. If you look at the history of kind of Alexa, there was massive customer demand. It was interesting for a minute, but the product ultimately sucked. Okay. So, and then they had to discount the product because they were making so many of them based on initial demand, and the demand fell off a cliff because no one wanted to spend hundreds of dollars on these devices that just were not that good and you couldn't use them for that much stuff. Okay. Yeah. So they had to discount and discount and discount, and they discounted to the point to where now it's like there's not that much margin in hardware. There can be
margin in hardware. Everybody's already got these things, and basically they use them as like smart speakers, and that's about.
But Jordan, don't you believe that with AI, all of a sudden these things become?
No, I'm saying that I agree. They would be way better. They would be actually amazing if they integrated this. The problem is, if you can just sit there and talk back and forth to one of these things all day long, what? The cost would be insane as far as the processing fees of dealing with translating your voice, going to ChatGPT, running that data, getting conclusions back. That, you know, I just don't think that there's any ROI for them to do.
But that's the whole point. There either is ROI for somebody or there's not. If you're telling me that there's no ROI for that, then Google's dead. They are dead in the water. If there's no ROI in getting the entire world to exclusively talk to you about everything they're thinking and wanting and buying, and like if they can't figure out a way to monetize that,
the problem is it's not always ROI,
we should just short Google to death
to
right now.
Buy, right? A lot of times you're like, what's the weather? What's this? You know, and you just, you know, you're just chatting with the thing, and it's not always a transaction. But yet there, you know, Amazon is having to pay for every time you speak to this device.
No, I understand. But your own methodology, Jordan, tells us that it will get so much more efficient because it's not going to search the entire universe when you ask the question, you know, is a 747 bigger than a, I'm aging myself, than a DC-10? You know, like what you're saying, well, what I'm trying to say is, according to you,
yeah,
innovation will make it so that this becomes incredibly cheap in 10 years, 5, 10 years, right?
No, I didn't make that argument. No, that's not my argument at all. My argument is that the way that, you know, these things are monetized is by selling the services to developers and, you know, basically VC
funds. Why can't you do that for Alexa?
All of this, right?
It's my argument.
But who's really good at selling services to developers? Apple. Apple's the best, right? So like, why wouldn't Apple
be the cloud provider? So basically it's cloud providers that will then soak in these fees, and it's only the cloud providers that offer these AI services. And so Google is making that huge investment. They're going to have these AI services that they can sit, you know, behind APIs and let developers interact with them. And then
Google's cloud just got more valuable. And will continue to get more valuable because of the APIs that they make available that are AI driven things.
But
so does AWS when Amazon
really
has these
made
things.
Here is by charging for the actual service.
I mean,
but on
Amazon,
the consumer facing side, like most consumers are not spinning up a web server on Google, and their revenue model currently is very dependent on consumers looking at and clicking on ads.
Everybody's competing for the consumer eyeballs, and so startups will come out, figure out how to take advantage of this in the best possible ways, and then Microsoft will buy those startups. So that's my thing.
You're listening to the Dumb Money Live podcast.
I feel like in any, you know, we always used to talk about scenario analysis, and we do as observational investors, and that, you know, we see some change in the world. We try to run all the scenarios and how that change would link back to publicly traded companies, either positively or negatively. And as observational investors, we really don't know what scenario is going to play out. So today's episode is just talking through all these different scenarios. But what I'm hearing here is that in almost all of these scenarios, in the short term, it sounds like it's a net negative. It sounds like for Microsoft, it could be a net positive in the short run, or it could be a net negative because there's so much cost involved. And
well, I think they've got a big cash. They've outlaid a lot of money. Are they giving free services to OpenAI? Are they charging for those? So I think that, but again, I think, you know, if they haven't developed software and a user experience to take advantage of all this and be able to monetize it, then the best way for them to make money is charging for services.
Yeah, I agree. That's a scenario. I don't really know how this plays out. I'm fascinated by it. I have to say, I don't think I've been as fascinated about anything in decades as this whole AI revolution. Because like all the smartest people in the room, you talk to them and they all have ideas, but then they'll admit, nobody has any idea where this is going. I think there was a quote by, I want to read this quote by Sam, who is the founder of OpenAI, because I thought it was really, really powerful. Go ahead, you guys can talk. I'll try to find it.
We don't want to get off topic while you have a big quote coming.
But listen, it was so...
I can give you a quote from the CEO of Google on their release while you're looking for your quote. They're saying they're initially releasing a lightweight model of LAMDA, which is a much smaller model requiring significantly less computing power, enabling us to scale more users, allowing more feedback. We'll combine external feedback with our own internal testing to make sure Bard's responses meet a higher bar for quality, safety, and groundedness in real-world information.
Dave, they're just trying to put in. These guys are just like putting out information because they have to at this point. They're like, what do we say? We have to say something. We have to be seen as on the forefront of this. And they're acting so corporate about it. It's actually hilarious. The quote by Sam Altman, founder of OpenAI, is, if you think that you understand the impact of AI, you do not understand and have yet to be instructed further. If you know that you do not understand, then you truly understand. And that was like a few days ago. And with he has obviously very deep insight into at least where they're headed at OpenAI. And I think we have to be super excited about this, maybe a little bit scared, but you know, you can't stop it. No one's stopping this train.
No.
Universal income, someone says. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming for probably all of us.
So I asked ChatGPT how, I said, list ways that Google can monetize their Bard AI platform to avoid cutting into their existing advertising revenue. And it came up with seven ways that it can, I mean, this is how business is going to happen in the future, because the robot's going to know better than us, right? But basically, premium features and services, licensing the technology, providing AI-powered language services, offering basically everything that Jordan has said. Maybe Jordan has been feeding the algorithm with his thoughts here, offering training and consulting services, partnering with other companies. Google can partner with other companies to jointly develop new AI-powered products, sell the data generated from usage. Basically, by the way, do you know how much it has cost OpenAI a lot to give us ChatGPT for free for the last few months? Do you know how much we've trained it into the types of things that humans are going to ask for? They have a huge head start on what do people want this to do by just listening to all of our stupid requests coming in constantly.
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, Twitter's going to have all of their employees now, like starting what, today or tomorrow, like testing their version of it. Like that's what they're going to, their employees. Man.
That's great. We're right on the verge of this huge change in the way everything is done. And it is, I think, exciting to be here watching it with an investor, with money in the bank, trying to figure out the best ways for us to make money on it, not having to worry about, you know, losing our advertising revenue like Google might have to worry about.
Yeah. I think we need to address the common question, Aquanaut. Elon does not want ChatGPT to crawl Twitter. Will this be a trend for other popular websites? We talked about this. This is a Supreme Court legal battle that is going to be fought probably over the next 2 years as to the extent that AI will be permitted to crawl and utilize other people's content. So I don't want to chime in too much about that. No one really knows how that's going to play out. I do feel that content will be incredibly valuable that if it can feed into these AI engines. So I think this is a net positive for Twitter for sure. Probably a net positive for stuff like Wikipedia, which is obviously not a that's not a for-profit company, but maybe Wikipedia can start generating enough money now from licensing to Google and or OpenAI that they don't have to beg us for money every 6 months to keep them alive. So there could be some plays there. Guys, there are numerous investing opportunities that will spin off of this AI revolution. We've talked about them in the past, but it's too early. It's just too early. And I agree with Jordan that the majority of opportunity will probably come from new early stage companies, probably not from large existing companies. So, because you have to move really quickly, right, Jordan? Like, there's so much opportunity.
Well, I think you
here.
Get the democratization of ideas too, right? And so you're going to have like hundreds of companies each trying some little different idea. And then Google, Microsoft, these big guys get to just come in and sweep up the best of them. And that's how business works.
Yeah, you're right. Makes me feel like we need to start getting back into early stage investing at some point. Maybe investing in
AI. Probably a good time.
I mean, could you imagine how many? I know they're already starting, like the AI seed fund.
The problem is you have to make really good bets because a majority will probably fail. And just the best ones are the ones that will get picked up.
Almost all of them will fail. That's what it's going to be.
Totally.
Crazy. But you're right. The reason why VCs will put money into the sector is for exactly that reason. And they know that they have Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, Baidu. These companies are just waiting and looking and just will compete with each other to acquire these companies before they probably ever hit a Series C or Series D fund round. Oh, Powell's on now.
Yeah, I'm just monitoring the situation here. We might, I don't know that we want to live stream the Jay Powell talk here, but he is speaking.
Well, the market's reacting really well to whatever he's saying, kind of creeping up. All right, guys. So
he just hit the stage about 4 minutes ago.
To close the AI conversation out, are you guys making any investments right now based on AI? For me, I'm sticking with my NVIDIA investment.
NVIDIA.
Excuse me. I know. I've always said it like that. It's a problem. So I'm sticking with that investment because I know there's a good case to be made that it's stretched, overvalued by any metric right now. It's way too hot. It's destined to reverse it. I know those arguments are out there and I get them all, but when you have something as big as this AI revolution, the hype cycle will be bigger for the very few companies that you know will benefit, right? And since NVIDIA is a company we know will benefit, it's just a matter of how much. It's going to get overbought. It's going to get overbought by retail investors. It's going to get overbought even by institutional investors because there's really nowhere else you can look to just know that you have a stake in this AI revolution that's going to benefit other than NVIDIA in a really big way and where you have that guarantee. So I'm sticking with it for now. I might exit at some point in the near future when the next 10,000 articles come out about how NVIDIA is going to be the big beneficiary of this AI cycle. But for now, I'm staying with that trade. And that's it. I'm not messing around with anything else right now.
But yeah, I have not made any new trades based purely on the AI revolution. I do have some Microsoft that I just have had for forever. But I have not, and obviously Amazon, I think that as cloud providers, those stand to benefit. I have not taken any kind of a move on Google or on Microsoft. I own both of them just from that's a part of my balanced portfolio.
Okay, fair.
How about you, Jordan?
What's that? Me?
Yeah.
I have not. I'm pretty cautious on the market right now, obviously. After this big of a run-up, I'm not rushing out to buy anything.
Can we agree on one thing as it relates to this AI revolution? At some point, it could take 5 to 10 years. This AI, I don't see how this is massively beneficial for global markets. I mean, just industry, technology, innovation. This, I've been saying this now for a couple of years. With all the gloom and doom, I have so much faith that this is the next big thing, the next big super cycle. At the end of the day, markets always come down to productivity and innovation. It always saves us from all the mistakes that we made. And we make mistakes in every cycle. And we probably made more mistakes than we've ever made with monetary policy, global policy in this last cycle. And it's really easy to look at all the mistakes we've made and be like, where do we go from here? How does our economic kind of situation not completely erode and we're just screwed? This next generation is screwed. I think that automation, artificial intelligence is going to completely save us the same way that the internet saved, the same way the industrial revolutions. And I'm really, really optimistic over the next 10 to 15 years that you have to be invested in technology, though. You have to be invested in the market because almost every part of the market's going to benefit from this, right, guys? Like, if you make products, if you're doing anything, your company is going to become more efficient. Because I hate to say it, you're not going to have as many employees. It's that simple. It's just that simple. Also, your company will be able to make smarter decisions, right? As you're saying, Dave, like, it's going to seem insane to us that we used to put a dozen people in a room and debate for weeks on end and months on end to come up with a simple strategy based on our shared experiences and knowledge. And then people would go out and research stuff and come back. I found something new that I think I need to bring to this dialogue. Like, artificial intelligence, once it evolves to where it needs to evolve, and it doesn't need to be sentient, right? Like, it doesn't need to get that far advanced. It's going to get to a point where it's going to answer 90% of what we need. Maybe not 100%, but 90% of that work is going to be done in a millisecond for every business in the world. That's a big deal.
And it's already doing a pretty good job, and it's not even fully connected to the internet yet, right?
It's a joke right now, Dave. What we have seen...
But it's still better than your experience using any other search platform. It is crazy. If there was one thing I could short, it would be... if there was some way to short higher intelligence, like a short, like higher education, can you imagine if you could short universities?
No,
because it changes everything.
I feel like universities, there's no reason to go to them today, even, but people will because they're just going to do it to do it. It's a social. It's a socioeconomic thing. It's a status thing. It's not. There's nothing real there for 70 to 80% of those graduates. We know that you can get a better education online for free, probably, right? You could self-educate yourself, but no, I don't. It's not universities necessarily because I feel like people will still just do that for some odd reason. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. There has to be a short here somewhere, a lot of shorts. And I think we'll do some shows over the next year when we figure out what those shorts are.
Yeah.
But I just think in general for the market, doesn't this make you more confident in just having money in the,
just the market in general,
for the next 20 years?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Because everything gets more efficient.
I mean, maybe I will say this, maybe less, and there's certain industry sectors that are going to get decimated, right? Industry sectors that are super reliant on offering specialized human workforces, and also industry sectors that are just relying on things that just we don't need anymore, right? So we're going to have a reset. So I think the next year or 2 years of shows, I think every once in a while we'll probably figure something out and we'll bring it to the dumb money universe because there will be massive opportunities to trade this. We just don't know what they are yet. It's too early. And also, I think a lot of the companies that will be harmed the most will initially benefit from AI. And a lot of the companies that are going to be harmed by AI initially might ultimately benefit in the long run. So it's going to be really weird and twisted for the next few years as we kind of go through this evolution.
And with that, thanks for watching and stay tuned because we have a lot to talk about on this topic. But as we are about to sign off. Just look at what QQQ is doing. It's up about a 1.3% since Jay Powell took the stage there at the Economic Club.
Dave, you know why I love seeing that? I did buy those triple leverage QQQs in my IRA rollover account.
When did you do
and
that?
I was like, you remember when we had those shows? You were the first person to like, you know, surface the idea that you thought that the risk reward over the long term was fruitful. And I didn't believe you. I thought you were a nutbag. And then I did like
2022 was the wrong year to do that, though. 2022 was that anomaly year that really, that's when you shouldn't be in it.
But Dave, I did it recently. Like I did it a few months ago, knowing that I could get destroyed in the short term.
Yeah.
But, and this is not investment advice, but my own research made it seem that even though it looks really scary and incredibly risky in the short run, then the long run, I agree with your methodology, Dave. I do think they generally return the triple leverage, I think has will likely, in my view at least, for me, return close to 2x over a 15 to 20 year period. So I just bought them. I don't want to know what's going on. I don't look at them, but they're in there. But next week, we have a really interesting episode I would like to do on one of our biggest gainers of 2022 that we probably talked about as much as any other stock last year. Is it time to sell? Is it time to exit? Because that company has earnings coming up next week. And some of you might know what it is just by me saying that. But I feel like I want to do that episode because I have started to see just a few little tiny cracks in that methodology. And some of the dumb money community thinks it might be time to exit. Let's talk about it next week. A big former dumb money investment that we think, you know, I have exited. And I want to talk about why I exited that trade. So, and I know you guys are going to have an opinion on this. So you guys have been in it.
So if you're not subscribed, this is your reminder. Hit that subscribe button, like button on your way out. We're dumb money. We will see you next week. Maybe later this week. What day is today? Do we have another one this week?
Do you want to? I'm open to it. Oh, we can do it this week because I think earnings are coming up. Well, we can do it. Yeah, we can do it this week or it has to be early next week. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Should we do a Super Bowl? Is there a Super Bowl trade?
Is there a Super Bowl trade? Like last year, if you had shorted all of the advertisers in the crypto world, you would have made a killing.
I had a Super Bowl trade last year, and it did not go well at all. You remember what my Super Bowl trade was?
I don't remember.
The playing card?
Dude, no. I have it. Yeah, It was a novelty trade.
Was it your trading card?
Yes, yes. It was my Matthew Stafford autographed rookie trading card.
We should go back and watch last year's show just to see if we had anything that was valuable advice in that. Because I think I had a good one. I think I had a good one, but I can't remember what it was.
All right. If Dumb Money, go on dumbmoney.tv/Discord if you guys have any interesting Super Bowl trades. And then we'll do the research on them. And if there's something interesting, maybe we'll do a Super Bowl episode later this week. Otherwise, we'll do our Is It Time to Sell Our Greatest Stock Pick of 22 next week.
Perfect. Until then, we're Dumb Money. We'll see you then.